Well, I am really excited for you guys to be here tonight. We are concluding our series entitled Supermen and the People That Love Them. And in case this is your very first time with us, let me kind of get you up to speed on where we've been. We've been studying through the life of Samson, and Samson is like a real-life superhero. God put him on this earth in an amazing beginning, the beginning of his life, the way that he came onto this earth. It's something straight out of a comic book. It was fascinating. It was amazing. And God put Samson on this earth for a specific purpose. And his purpose was to usher in God's kingdom, to get Israel out of captivity from the Philistines, and in essence, to make God famous, to give God glory. And we talked about that just like Samson had a specific purpose, you and I have a purpose in this world. And last week we defined what our purpose is. Our purpose equals glorifying God. It's going to come up on the screens for you just in case you want to write it down. But your purpose equals glorifying God. That's your purpose in this world. God has given you some passions. He's given you some desires. He's given you some gifts and abilities. And your purpose in this world is to use those gifts and passions and abilities to find a way to glorify God. Some of you have desires and you don't even know why you have them. You have the ability to fix things, or you're really athletic, or some of you are hilarious. You're really, really funny. Others of you, you should never tell a joke. You're just not funny. Stop it. Not everybody's a comedian. But some of you, you're really funny. Why are you funny? It's because God has given you a sense of humor in order to give him glory. Everything about you, the reason why you're on this earth, your purpose in this world is to give God glory. This past week, I went on Wednesday to go support my friend Tommy. Tommy is the drummer in the band. And Tommy went to this competition that was just not a normal Wednesday night for me. He was telling me that he was doing this thing at Smoky Bones called the Burger Bash, I think, or the Burger Blast, or Burger something or other. And it was a food eating competition where Tommy, this was incredible, he was up against 19 other guys, 19. And in round one, they had to eat a half pound of burger plus all the toppings, and they could either pick pulled pork or brisket to put on top. So it's half a pound of burger and then all the toppings. It was huge. And you had to be one of the first five people to eat this burger. And then if you were one of the first five, you moved on to round two. So Tommy gets to round two, and it was exciting. Like, I was cheering for him. I was screaming for him. He devoured that burger. Round number two, you had to eat the exact same thing again. So he had to eat a half-pound burger with all the toppings and the pulled pork on top of it. He had to eat that a second time. Well, he makes it to the final round. In the final round, they take the top five people from this whole thing, the fastest people to eat this burger, and this time, though, they up the ante. This time, they had to eat 1 pound burger plus all the toppings and, like, the pulled pork or the brisket on top of it. Now, I have a picture of this burger, just so you can know. This is the third round, mind you. Look how big this burger is. That was the third and final round. He had to eat that really, really fast. Okay, now the third round, this was intense. Like, we're all, like, cheering his name, and, like, we're really into it. And I have actually a picture of him in the competition. Just Tommy's the guy on the end. Look how focused he is. And he was up against some big guys. There was actually a guy that claimed to be some food-eating champ from Myrtle Beach. And there were, like, some really big guys there. And there's some guys that actually beat Tommy. They did it a lot faster in round one and round two. But in the final round, there was five guys. And within a matter of minutes, three out of the five guys bowed out. They just couldn't do it anymore. So it came down to Tommy, our Tommy, Next Level's Tommy, the drummer Tommy, versus somebody else. I don't know that guy. He's probably a good guy, but I wasn't rooting for him. I was rooting for Tommy. And Tommy starts eating that burger, and I mean, he was just on a mission. He was devouring it. It was both glorious and gag nasty. Like, he was just cramming that thing all, and eventually he started eating it so fast that the guy next to him just kind of looked at him and was like, ah, oh, like, this is, I'm done. Like, he took a breather, and like, he started like spraying some sauce on his burger, like, just to pretend he was still gonna eat. But he was like, there's no way I can compete with Tommy. Tommy got done, and he was the first person to get done with this thing. And when you have to stand up, your mouth has to be clear. And you have to say, Smoky Bones. And Tommy stood up, said, Smoky Bones. And the place went crazy. And everyone was like, woo, yeah, Tommy. And it was an amazing thing. Now, let me ask you a question, because I was thinking about this. I was thinking, why in the world does Tommy have a desire to eat that much meat? That is 2 pounds of meat. And it's not like over a week span or a day span. It was within minutes of each other. Why? Why does Tommy, like, is it because he's hungry? Like, does Tommy just, like, wake up one day and is like, man, I don't eat enough? Like, let me join a burger battle? Or is it maybe because Tommy wants to become famous? Like maybe Tommy wants to make a name for himself. And actually at this night, he made a great name for himself because out of all the people going, like he had a little fan base. And at the end when he won it, he had people, kids asking for his autograph. And all the wait staff knew his name. And they were like, oh, Tommy, like you're awesome. And like people were giving him high fives. And the whole place knew who Tommy was. Is that why Tommy has a desire to eat that amount of meat? No. Tommy has that desire because God has put it in him to glorify God. Now, this is crazy to me. It's like even through eating burgers, Tommy's purpose in this world is not to become famous. It's not to just eat a lot of meat for a little bit of money. His purpose in eating all of that meat was to somehow glorify God. And I want to tell you how Tommy did that because this was amazing. Out of the 19 guys, I got to spend some time with them and around them. Almost every single one of them cussed like a sailor. And almost every single one of them didn't have their families there. But Tommy represented as well. Tommy didn't say one cuss word. In fact, Tommy was full of encouragement. And Tommy, it showed the way he loved his family. He stood out. Tommy preached a better sermon in that burger bash than I've ever preached here because he lived his life in a way that honored God. That's why Tommy has a desire to eat that much meat. God has given you and he's put in you desires and you don't even know sometimes why you have them. I have a desire. I love basketball. I'm the only one in my family that loves basketball. For some reason, God made me short and fat, so I can't play it, but I have a love for it. Why? Well, somehow through my love of basketball, I am to glorify God. That is my purpose in life. You have a purpose. Maybe it's building things. Maybe it's to be a teacher. Maybe it's to be a great mom. Maybe it's to be a great husband. I don't know. I don't know what desires God has put inside of you. But whatever desires you have, your purpose in this world is to glorify God. Now, Samson had a specific purpose, but we looked at it last week. He didn't fulfill his purpose. In fact, Samson is doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. He met a woman named Delilah that he falls in love with. Delilah was with the Philistines, so he should not have had anything to do with her. But yet he falls in love with her, and after multiple attempts, she finally tricks him into telling her the secret to his strength. And she tells him that if she shaves his head, he'll lose his strength. God gave him this like super strength. He was just amazingly strong. So she shaves his head. She calls in the Philistines. They run in. They gouge out his eyes. They put him in the mill to work, and he becomes like a prisoner, a slave. And it's one of the saddest stories in all the Bible because you have this guy with his great strength, and he's not fulfilling his purpose. Before we jump in to tonight's text, I need to ask you a question because it's going to set the framework for tonight's discussion. We've talked about purpose for the first 2 weeks, but there's one part of purpose that you need to do, and it's going to help propel you faster and further. And the question is this: what are your goals for the next 20 years? What are your goals for the next 20 years? We've talked about this kind of broad thing of like your purpose is to glorify God, but specifically, what are your desires? What are your passions? In the next 20 years, where do you see yourself? Now, how many of you are like a goal-oriented person? You love goals. Like you have a lot of goals. Raise your hand if you're goal-oriented. That's 2.5 of us. One person's not even proud to raise their hand. Okay, so most of us aren't goal-oriented. And if you're not goal-oriented, like, you're my kind of people. I'm not goal-oriented at all. In fact, if I look back over my life, the goals that I've set, and these are not to be funny. They are funny, but they're not to be funny. These are literally my goals. I set goals to eat Chipotle once a week for a whole year. That's a goal I had. I had a goal not to go completely bald. That was a goal I had. I have a goal. Still to this day, I have a goal to not grow hair out of my ears. That's a goal that I have. Now, those are small, little, pathetic goals. I'm not great at like dreaming big and saying, I want to have this amazing goal, but I want to tell you, the size of your goal equals the size of your God. And if we have a purpose to glorify God, our goals are going to be the specific things that keep us on track. So let me make that really specific for you. If you're married, I have a goal in my marriage, and I came up with this goal a few years ago. My goal for my marriage is I want to have a marriage where people think that we're still on our honeymoon. I want people to think, like, I want them to wonder, like, why are they all over each other? And why don't they fight like a 50-year-old couple? And, like, why do they get along? And why do they act like they've only been married for a few weeks? That's a goal I have for my marriage. And so because I have a goal, it helps shape my life. It helps shape the decisions that I make. Now, ultimately, why do I want to have a great marriage? Because my purpose is to glorify God. And I know that if I love my wife, ultimately it's going to glorify God. Because the Bible tells us that husbands are to love their wives like Christ loves the church. So that's my purpose in life is to glorify God. My goal is how I'm going to do it. Some of you have a goal to retire. One day, you don't want to be working until you're 70, 80 years old. And so you need to come up with a goal. How are you going to do that specifically? Because you can't just wish upon a star and hope to have the money to retire. If you do that, I'm going to tell you exactly where you are, because I see you every single week when I go work out of Chick-fil-A. This is what you're going to be. When you're 67 years old, you're going to be working at Chick-fil-A as a little old guy that greets you and walks around and gives you mints and asks you for refills. That's where you'll be if you don't set a plan for how you're going to retire. It's either that or Walmart. Take your pick. Those are the only two places where I see really old people working. If you don't set a goal for yourself, that's where you're going to end up. You've got to set a specific goal. Where do I want to be? And then how can I honor God? How can I glorify God with that goal? Are we tracking with this? One of my favorite authors and pastors has a great quote that Craig Rochelle, he says, "If you want what few people have, you have to be willing to do what few people are willing to do. If you want what few people have, you have to be willing to do what few people are willing to do." Now, in a room this size, only 3.5 of us said we have goals. So what does that tell me? If we want what few people have, we've got to do what few people are willing to do. And that means we've got to set some goals that glorify God. If you want to have an amazing marriage, you can't just hope that you end up in it one day. You've got to set some goals, and those goals need to glorify God. If you want to retire at a certain age, if you want to be a certain place in your job, if you want your kids to raise kids that love Jesus, you can't just hope it happens. You have to set goals and help your kids love Jesus. Some of you have a goal. You're single, and you have a goal that you want to get married one day. Well, if you want to get married one day, you can't do the same things that everyone else is doing. If you look around, you see what everyone else is doing, guess what that equals? An awful marriage. If you want what few people have, you have to be willing to do what few people are willing to do. And that means don't sleep with your girlfriend or boyfriend. You make decisions, the hard decisions now. You don't do what few people are willing to do. You're going to have an amazing purpose in this life. I'll tell you what few people aren't willing to do. Few people aren't willing to get up early in the morning and read their Bibles. Few people aren't willing to get up and spend some time praying and just seeking God and saying, "God, what do you want me to do?" Few people are not willing to go tell their coworkers or their friends about Jesus. If you want a life like no one else is living, you've got to be willing to do what few people are willing to do. Samson had an incredible purpose. We have an incredible purpose. But the thing that's going to keep us on track with our purpose is the goals that we set. So is everyone tracking with me? Is everyone following where we're going with this thing? We're going to look at the end of Samson's life, and I hope that we can learn some things from it. I hope specifically that we can learn how our goals can help protect us from making the same poor decisions that Samson made. If you'll dive with me into Judges 16, verse 23 through 24, it says, "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain.'" All right, let's stop there just for a second. Now remember, Samson's goal, Samson's purpose in this world was to deliver Israel so that God could become famous. That was his purpose in this world. His purpose was to deliver Israel out of the Philistines. When Samson did not fulfill his purpose, what did the verse say happened? You had these pagan people who were worshiping their god, Dagon. Now, because Samson did not fulfill his purpose, what did it lead to? It led to people worshiping a god that doesn't even exist anymore. Think about that. If Samson would have fulfilled his purpose, then this is what would have happened. The pagan nations around him, they would have said, "Your God is the one true God. We can't fight against it. We can't fight against you. You win every time. Your God is the one true God." So instead of worshiping Dagon, they would have worshiped the one true God. How many of you know about Dagon? How many of you have learned about Dagon before? How many of you have friends that worship Dagon? Like, the closest thing I can come up with Dagon was Rocky IV. The Russian's name was Drago. Like, I can't come up with any. I've never heard of Dagon. Dagon's not still around. These people were worshiping something that was not still around. And here's why this is so important to you and I. Your purpose, the way that you live your life, it should cause people to turn away from their false gods and start to worship your God. Because we may not worship the god called Dagon, but we worship things like money, and we worship celebrities, and we worship power, and we worship people loving us, and we worship all these fake things. And the way that you should live your life, it should cause people to say, "I'm not going to pour my time in things that won't even be here in 100 years. I'm going to worship the one true God." The New Testament has a verse, and I read this verse on the very first week, but I want to make sure that you get this because it's so crucial for our purpose. 1 Peter 2:11 through 12 says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and, what's that next word? Okay, let's say it like you actually like being in church. One, two, three. Much better. And glorify God on the day that he visits us. This is huge. As a Christian, your purpose is to glorify God, and your goals are going to help keep you on track. And what did 1 Peter say? Peter says that you are to abstain from sinful behavior. Why? Is it because God doesn't want you to have fun? Is it because God doesn't want you to enjoy life? No! You are to abstain from sinful behavior because your behavior is going to draw people to your God. The way that you live your life to honor God, there are going to be people that look at you and they're going to say, I hate my marriage. You love your marriage. Why do you love your marriage? And ultimately, it's not because you're a good person. It's because you're trying to glorify God through your marriage. And you're going to work with people. You're going to work with people who cut corners and who don't have integrity and who steal from the company. And when you do that and when you work with them and they see that you don't cut corners and that you do have integrity, they're going to wonder, why? Why do you do this? And why do you do it? Is it because you're a good person? No, you do it to glorify God. You glorify God in every area with the friendships. Everybody else talks behind their backs of their friends. Everyone else backstabs. Everyone else is full of gossip. Not you. When you have a friendship, you're going to stick up for your friends. Why? Is it because you're a good person? No, it's because you're going to glorify God through your friendships. In everything that we do, we glorify God. And when we do that, it draws people to wonder, what is different about you? Why? Why are you like this? And it's not so that we can get a pat on the back and say, oh yeah, we're awesome. It's so that ultimately, that's what Peter said. Ultimately, it's so that people will say, I want to glorify your God. You live it, you breathe it, you smoke it, you know it. I want some of that. That is why Christians are to abstain from sinful behavior. And the tragic story of Samson is not that he made a mistake. It's that he never fulfilled his purpose. And if he would have fulfilled his purpose, this whole story would have ended differently. It would have been these pagans, they turned away from Dagon and they said, Dagon's not a real God, but your God is the one true God. And I just want to throw it out to you. When people are around you, what do they worship? Do they see that you're worshiping the one true God? That's your purpose in life, to glorify God. Let's keep going with the verse and see what happens next. It says, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison. And he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars and support the temple, so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. All right, I hope you guys are tracking with what's happening. Samson's completely blind. He's been in prison. They pull him out. Why? Because they want Samson to pull a magic mic for them. I mean, they want him to dance for them. Okay, now, why is it acceptable for them to want to see a magic mic? Well, because they're a pagan lost generation. It's all right for them to see magic mic. They're not a Christian nation. So it's okay if they want to see a porno. It's not okay for a Christian to see a porno. So this is not a Christian nation wanting to see Samson dance. It is a pagan nation from Dagon. I'm just on my soapbox just for a little bit, okay? Magic Mike is not a movie that Christians should be seeing. I'm just throwing it out there. It's okay for them to do it. And they want Samson to perform. They want Samson to dance. They want to get entertainment out of it because they don't have a God that tells them to abstain from sinful behavior. So they ask Samson to dance. And while Samson gets pulled out there, he says to the servant, hey, will you put my hands against the pillars? Because he can't see. And they put his hands against the pillars. And now let's read and see what happens next. It says, then Samson prayed to the Lord. O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars of which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Now, growing up in the church, I always heard that this was the way that Samson kind of redeemed himself, that finally Samson did something that's right. He finally took out the Philistines. But as I was studying this week, like, I saw a bunch of things in this verse that really broke my heart. Samson, here's a guy that is supposed to be glorifying God, and even in his last few minutes, he gets it completely wrong. Did you catch what he prayed? He basically prays, God, I want to commit suicide. Take my life. Like, that's not the prayer of someone that wants to glorify God. Samson should have said, even though I'm blind, God, be glorified in this situation. Let me turn down the pillars and then let me lead Israel and do what you've called me to do. But he was so focused on woe is me, he said, I just can't take this anymore. That is a sign of not knowing your purpose and not having any goals. When you start praying prayers like, God, just get me out of this. God, just kill me. God, just take this away. It is a sign that you don't understand your purpose in this world. Because it doesn't matter if you're blind or deaf or if you're on your last leg of life, no matter where you're at, you are called to glorify God. And Samson missed the boat completely. Now, I hope that none of you are actually considering or even thinking about suicide, but I just want to mention something because I was asked this question this week about suicide. And the question was, if you commit suicide, will you go to heaven? And the common belief, which is taught from the Catholic Church, is that if you commit suicide, it's an automatic dismissal out of heaven, like you're going to hell. And I think that the Catholic Church's teaching is very helpful. And I think it's helpful because hopefully it scares people from committing suicide. But even though it's helpful, it is not biblical at all. Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you commit suicide, you can't get into heaven. And I just want to ask you guys a little quiz, just to make sure you guys are tracking with me on this whole thing. Okay. Why does God lead you into heaven? And I'm going to give you multiple choice here to make it easy on you, okay? Why does God let you into heaven? Is it A, because of your good works, or B, because of Jesus' blood? B, correct answer. Survey says B. So if you don't get into heaven because of your good works, you don't get kicked out of heaven because of your bad works. So if someone commits suicide, it's not like God's like, oh, that's the unforgivable sin. Get out of here. God is bigger than even suicide. But I don't want any of you to use that or to tell your friends who are thinking about suicide, oh, yeah, just go commit suicide. God will forgive you. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose is to tell you, even though God can forgive you, you have missed your purpose in life. Suicide is the most selfish sin out there. It is focused on yourself. It is saying, woe is me. It is saying, I can't make it anymore. It's saying, my purpose, it doesn't exist anymore. You've crushed my dreams. I can no longer live. I can no longer do this. God, just kill me. Take me out of this thing. And some of you may not be thinking about suicide, but I can tell by the prayers that you pray that you're wanting God just to zap you out of a situation. Instead of glorifying God in the tough situation, you're saying things like, God, if you would just get rid of my spouse, if you would just take care of her, if you'd make them leave. Or you're praying prayers like, God, I can't get out of these finances. Can you just help me win the lottery? And you're praying these prayers that you want God just to zap you out of it because you think your problems are so big. But God wants you to glorify him even in tough situations. So the sad thing about Samson is he never fulfills his purpose. He's so focused on, he's just such a selfish human being that even in his last moments when he could have glorified God, he pushes down these pillars, the temple comes down on him, and he dies. Now, let's read the very last verse in Samson's life and wrap this whole thing up. It says, then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zora and Eshtola, in the tomb of Manoah, his father. We learned about Manoah in week one. He had led Israel, how long did that say? 20 years. Now, when we began this journey, God didn't say, I'm going to let Samson rule for 20 years. Like, we didn't know if he was going to lead for 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years. But Samson had 20 years to glorify God, and he never did it. And so in the end of his life, they worshiped Dagon. They didn't worship the one true God. And so that's where I got that number from. I asked you at the very beginning, what are your goals for the next 20 years? Because if God blesses you with 20 more years, where do you want to see yourself? Where do you see yourself in your marriage? Do you want to have an amazing marriage? Or maybe you're single. Do you see yourself being married? What are your goals that are going to set you up to have a healthy marriage? With your finances, if you want to be a certain place with your finances, what are your goals that are going to allow you to glorify God with your finances to get to where you want to be? With your kids, hopefully you have some great goals for your kids. And hopefully the goals aren't just that they will like be great athletes. Hopefully your goals are that they would glorify God. But how do you want them to do that? If you have a goal that you want your kids to glorify God, it should include making sure they're in church every week. And you model for them what it means to glorify God. And you set up goals for them. Are you guys tracking with this? If you had 20 years, 20 years is so fast. It flies. And at the end of your 20 years, where do you see yourself right now today? If we're reading your story at the end of your life, what are the things that we're going to say about you? Are we going to look back and say, oh, it's just like Samson, it's a tragedy. God gave them such amazing gifts and amazing passions, and they wasted it on selfish living. Or are we going to look at your story and say, man, they did amazing things with what God gave them. They glorified God. And maybe they never became famous. Maybe they never set any world records. But God was glorified through their job and through their family and through the way that they lived their life. Your purpose in this world is to glorify God. And your goals are how you're going to do that. Now, I need to take just a quick rabbit trail, because I want to explain that this story of Samson has actually been incredibly hard for me to teach on. I really like the passages of Scripture that tell you what the point is. Like, do not murder, that makes sense to me. There's the application right there. Like, I can get that. Don't steal, I'm good with that. Don't commit adultery, like, you don't have to come up with anything creative. It's right in there. I kept reading through Samson's life as I've been preparing this for the last 3 weeks, and I kept asking, like, God, why is this in here? Like, there is nothing, like, great. There's no point that comes to the end of Samson's life and says, this is in here because of this. And I want my superheroes, I don't know if you guys want this, but I want my superheroes to have a happy story. I don't want superheroes committing suicide and then killing 3,000 people and nothing good comes out of it. So I kept asking that question, and a few weeks ago we were in a series here where the whole point of the series was to get us to fall in love with the Bible. And during that series, I read some verses that were just focused on the Bible, what the Bible says about the Bible. And God kind of convicted me about something in one of the verses that I read, and I want to share you that verse with you. It comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here's what convicted me, and here's the reason why we did this series on Samson. Our church is about 3 months old, and my preference is New Testament. The New Testament makes sense to me. It's just a lot more application. And I just kind of started getting convicted that if I want to raise a church that loves the Bible, I can't always teach out of the New Testament. And so I felt like God was leading me to teach on Samson. And at first I thought that Samson was going to be this man series, and we were going to focus on, like, how do we become godly men, and, like, how are our women going to help us become godly men? But then as I started digging through Samson's story, I was like, this has nothing to do with being a godly man. This is a tragic story of a guy who never fulfilled his purpose. And I'm reading that verse. I read the verse a few weeks ago. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. And so I've just been asking each week, God, what can we learn? What is the teachable moment from Samson's life? In the Bible, in the life of Samson, you're not going to see anywhere where it says, set goals for your life. And you will see some things about purpose, because God gives Samson a specific purpose. But as reading through this, I kept saying, God, what can we learn? What is the thing? And the thing that God kept coming back to, and he just kept saying to me over and over and over again, is that Samson blew it because he never fulfilled his purpose. And if Samson had this amazing purpose, and then he set some goals of how he's going to do this, his life would have been totally different. If his goals were things like, I'm going to issue Israel into God's kingdom, it would have protected him from sleeping with a prostitute, which we read last week. And if he kept with his goal to issue God's kingdom through Israel, if he would have focused on that goal, it would have protected him from marrying someone or falling in love with someone named Delilah. Your goals are the things, they're like borders for your life. And there are certain things that you can and cannot do, and it's not because God wants to punish you or because God doesn't love you, it's because God wants you to glorify him through that. And so your goals are going to help protect you. They're going to help set it up. And so my prayer through all of this is that we can learn from Samson's life. And that when we look at our life in the next 20 years, it would be radically different than Samson's. The application for tonight is simply write out your goals for the next 20 years. Write out your goals for the next 20 years. I can't force you to do this. I'm not going to look over your shoulder. I probably will forget to even ask you next Sunday. But my challenge for you is, before you go to bed tonight, don't wait till tomorrow. If you wait till tomorrow, you'll never do this. My challenge for you is tonight, write out your goals for the next 20 years. What are your goals in marriage? Or if you're single, maybe marriage is one of your goals. What are your goals with your job? What are your goals? Where do you want to be in 20 years? How old will you be? If you'll be 40, 60, 80, what do you want to see your life at in 20 years? And then write out your goals with the understanding that my purpose is to glorify God. And my goals should help me do that. So if your goals are to retire at a certain age, what can you do now to get you to that point? If your goals are to have a certain marriage, you have to. What are you going to do to get to that point? So what are your goals for the next 20 years? Write out your goals, and again, understand what your purpose is. That's what drives what your goals are. If we do that, we will live a life that is drastically different than Samson's. And maybe when we get to the end of our life, people won't say, oh yeah, he was a pretty good guy, but he wasted his life. They would say, man, they loved Jesus. And they glorified God, even when things got tough. That's a challenge. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your love for us. God, I thank you that your love never fails. I thank you that your love never gives up on us. God, our purpose is clear. We are called to glorify you. Help us to do that in every situation. Help us do that with our hobbies. Help us do it with our friends, with our family, God. God, give us the strength to glorify you. Help us to set goals this week, God. Put it on our hearts to not sleep until we write out some goals that glorify you. We thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you for what you're doing in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. If this is your first time with us and you'd like to get connected, we've made it pretty simple for you. There's a card in your seat when you came in. Just pick up that card. It's a connection card. Fill it out. Give us a little bit of information and then turn it into one of the ushers on your way out and we'll give you a call this week and help you get connected. And speaking of getting connected, on the back, there's a place for you to write prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, maybe you're struggling with something, maybe you just have, you want help with a goal or you just have something in your life, write it on there and we actually have a prayer team that prays every single Sunday and we'll pray for that prayer request. We won't share it with anyone. We're not going to embarrass you, but we want to pray for you as a church. Last but not least, if you would like to give a financial gift, you can do so by placing it in the envelope, which is located in your seat, and then hand that to the ushers on your way out. Thank you guys so much for being here. We'll see you next week.